They're great. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's get to it.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen.
Talented.
We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
I don't know you. Who is this? Don't come here. I'm hanging at the phone. Prank caller. Prank caller.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word with Planet Crackpot?
It's the 9-11 of fun. The Don and Mike Show.
Buzzito.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
I'd like to catch up on a couple of loose ends.
All right.
The news, hate to step on your toes.
No problem.
I'll tell you very quickly. ESPN.com says that Jerome Bettis has written a book about his time with the Steelers, and he indicates that a couple of years ago he faked being hurt so that they wouldn't cut him.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's kind of a... That's probably done a lot in the NFL, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, but it's rare that a guy comes out, at least in the excerpt of the book that I've read.
Right.
He said that he did have an injury and that the tough part was convincing the team that the injury happened on the practice play that he pretended it happened on.
Ooh, boy. That's a slippery slope right there.
Let me see. Man, I did a nice job of acting. This is in Jerome Bettis' book.
Wow.
The thing is, I wasn't faking I had an injury. I was faking that the injury happened on this particular play. I had to fool Cowher into thinking the injury occurred on that play. Otherwise, he would have had reason to cut me on my salary.
Wow. So, like, if he had it happen somewhere else, they wouldn't have had as much sympathy that if it was
correct.
Happening on a particular run.
About the money.
And then there's this, also about football players. There was a big thing in the Washington Post today about... Sonny Jurgensen and Sam Huff and Larry Michael.
Right. Hi, Larry. Larry Michael, the broadcasters for the Redskins.
Anyway, here we go. A lot of the stuff is stories that we've already told on the air, like when Sam got nuts and went over the wall at the broadcast booth in Chicago, wanted to get into a fight with some guy.
Yeah, we heard some raw tape on that one. I don't know if we played that on the air. We heard it, though.
But here's a really good part. Sonny and Sam began rooming on the road in 1964. Sonny went out at night. Sam stayed in. Sonny was a carouser of great renown, often ending up at the Dancing Crab or Mr. Dave's.
I know both those places.
With Billy Kilmer. Billy Kilmer! Sonny's not proud of his drunk driving history, but he says it wasn't all his fault. Quote, Billy Kilmer was one of the reasons I got caught one time. We left in the morning, and I said, I'll drive. You can drink. We left in the morning. He said, I will drive. You can drink.
Saying this to Sonny.
Yes. So the last thing I remember is him throwing up in the alley outside Mr. Dave's. And he says, you're going to have to drive. So I drive home. We get caught going down the parkway. Mm. The officer said, you've had drinks. Sonny says, yes, but let me ask you a question. See the guy in the back seat, passed out? It was him or me. Who would you rather have driving?
I told you what the sheriff that I met one time told me the story about Sonny Jurgensen. Go ahead.
The last part is, I didn't have accidents, Sonny says now. I drove home.
Right.
In those days, the 70s, that's what you did.
Now, speaking of accidents, they would say if it was a Sonny stop and he was going out so often, they'd always say, is it a 9 or a 6? As to whether the car was upside down.
It was pretty great.
Hello.
Pretty great. And there's one more story about a pizza place.
I love pizza.
You do, Rob?
Rob, you bastard.
What kind of pizza do you like?
Any kind.
Likes hell pizza.
Right.
Oh, that is very good.
They're a pizza chain, and they've got advertisements.
Hell pizza?
Hell pizza that are getting some... offensive type feedback.
All right.
Let me just read you the story. The chain has a string of complaints about its advertising, including a mail out last year and Adolf Hitler billboards.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. The billboards were meant to lampoon Hitler rather than be offensive. Hitler is shown in a Heil Hitler salute with a pizza in his hand. Next to the quote, it's possible to make people believe that heaven is hell.
Wow. I'm not sure I agree with their marketing strategy.
Mm, I don't think so.
I like it.
Where, I know you do. Sure.
Where is Hell Pizza?
It's probably in the Midwest, I think.
Hell Pizza. It's tasty as hell.
It is.
Can we find it? Oh, here you go. Here's the billboard. There you go. There's the billboard.
Oh, there's a picture of it.
It's Adolf Hitler with a slice of pizza in his hand. It's possible to make people believe that heaven is...
I think that's an actual quote.
I can't imagine why people are complaining about that billboard.
Let me see. The agency that handles the chain's advertising said yesterday they've received complaints from Jewish people. They're taking the billboards down.
It's a clipped version. It's a clipped picture of this, but do you see anything mentioning the pizza? I mean,
No. All
they say, it really looks like it's simply a quote from Adolf Hitler. Brilliant!
Uh-huh. Anyway, that's
wow.
Stuff I had. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. I have breaking news.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Michael Vick has been suspended by the NFL indefinitely without pay. That's the gist of the letter Roger Goodell sent to Vick and was made public just about 10 minutes ago.
That's very brave of them.
In it, he called Vick's actions illegal, cruel, and reprehensible. Quoting Goodell, "Your team, the NFL, and NFL fans have all been hurt by your actions." He says that even if Vick didn't gamble, he was involved with illegal gambling, and that, says Goodell, is a violation of the player's contract. And Goodell has now told the Atlanta Falcons they may add to this punishment if they wish. Goodell says he'll review the situation again after the legal process is finished.
Well, that means he's off the hook for a good long time now, isn't he?
I bet when we were talking to a JB today, he said something I think I had said before. Talent wins out. Yeah. Whether Mike Vick goes to jail for 1 year or 2 years, and they make him sit out an extra year.
You said this, though, that talent wins out if he will. I don't think it's going to be talent alone. I think he is going to have to do some kind of PR damage control.
There's
got to
be hand-in-hand, I mentioned, donate money to charity.
Exactly.
Do PSA announcements.
Right.
Do whatever he can to rehabilitate his image.
And from what I'm hearing about this guy, he's not doing that yet. Right. He's not really doing that. I guess they want to see where the legal shoe is going to drop, but I think he's got to really come out and do it. He's got to do that before he goes to jail, too.
Yeah.
Here's more about Sonny and Sam from that article.
Is there the part about the dog fighting in there?
No, but it says on a trip to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio 4 years ago, Sonny drove up to where Sam Huff's ex-wife now lives. "Isn't this where you get out?" he asked Sam. "Get me the hell out of here," screamed Sam.
"Get me the hell out of here."
"That's what he did to me," says Sam. "Do you believe that?"
"That's
what," says Sonny. "I pulled up and stopped to let him out. I thought he'd like to visit."
Hey, it's nice to know that even in their later years, they're still doing the cutting up, eh?
So I drive home. He's throwing up outside the alley of Mr. Dave's.
Is it Mr. Dave's or Mr. Day's?
Mr. Dave's.
Mr. Dave's.
Mr. Dave's.
I remember the Dancing Crab. Used to drive by that all the time. That's
used to be down by Channel 9,
yeah,
right?
Right next to Channel 9.
Right. That's where Mike Buchanan used to go all the time.
That's right, yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, you do the 6 o'clock, you do the 11 o'clock.
That's right.
I got a case of the Dancing Crab.
I didn't have accidents. I drove home.
Of course.
In those days, the 70s. That's what you did.
Sometimes I drove home, sometimes I slid home.
Zoom.
Watch out. Is this a 6 or a 9?
Well, you know, you should really find out where this pizza place is.
New Zealand.
Well, we should get them as an interview on the show.
Yes, Hell Pizza. Maybe they could send us some. Wonder how that would end up. Especially with the hot temperatures.
Anyway, hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna.
Hi,
Mike.
Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi.
Michael Vick will not admit to gambling when he officially enters his guilty plea in court on Monday. In court papers filed this afternoon outlining his plea agreement, he's only pleading guilty to sponsoring the dogfights and to interstate commerce for the purpose of dogfighting.
Is he done the plea yet, or is that going to happen on Monday?
This is the plea that he will enter on Monday.
Oh, he's entering on Monday. Okay.
The big show is going to be on Monday. And here's something to think about with Michael Vick. From what I've read and what Buzz is reporting here, he's going to say, yeah, he was there while this happened.
But he's not going to admit to actually killing the dogs himself.
So the question is, how do you feel about if that part is true? And who knows what's true?
Well, right.
Do you feel any less animosity towards him if he actually physically didn't do it, if he was just there it happened?
My animosity towards Michael Vick is going to be how he handles this. I mean, he has to, as I said before, turn this into – he's got to turn it around. He's got to come out with a statement. He's got to do something to prove to me that he knows how egregious this was.
And the third thing he's pleading guilty to, and the papers released this afternoon that'll be filed Monday, is running an illegal business that involved gambling. Now, according to an ESPN source, Vic is admitting that he did participate when 6 or 8 dogs were killed,
okay,
but that he didn't do it personally. He says he didn't profit from the gambling also, and he is actually due in court on Monday.
He participated.
He participated when 6 or 8 dogs were killed.
Right. That's what I had heard already, that he said.
But he didn't do it individually.
He didn't do it with his own bare hands, I guess.
Break. All right.
And he says he didn't profit from the gambling. He's due in court on Monday.
Because we all know he needed a profit from the gambling. Because they didn't pay him enough.
So what if am I to interpret that his dogs didn't win?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. He didn't profit from it. He lost. I mean, really, I think that's what legal speak for, hey, right. I didn't make any money doing it.
I lost money.
You know, it's kind of creepy, isn't it? It bugs me a little bit. It bugs me, the legal system bugs me a little bit, too.
I don't know where I was reading an online discussion about, it was something about the race issue and all of this, and how even, I guess in Atlanta, there had been a very strong division, black versus white.
Yeah, and I hate that.
On this issue, and I was reading something saying that once this happened, that the black community had backed down a little bit, and then they brought up a question, which I thought was interesting. What if it was another upper-tier NFL white quarterback?
Right.
And I started thinking about this, thinking, well, who could you picture doing this? Peyton Manning, no. Tom Brady, no. Brett Favre, kind of a hillbilly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what if it was Brett Favre? I can tell you without fail, at least from my perspective, I'd feel the same way.
Sure.
It'd be like, he killed dogs.
But don't you, right. and here's the thing, when you hear it with the black community and the white community going in separate directions, it makes me mad because I understand that with the black community, when they're kind of going to come out, they're going to make it into this OJ thing. And then we get the calls from people that are making the jokes about OJ and Michael Vick and Michael Jackson. And they're the one. So both sides of that issue, mm-hmm. white and black, right. turn it into the racial thing. I don't think it has anything to do with race.
I was speaking simply about Atlanta itself, the Atlanta metro area itself, which is.
Well, you know the calls we get on this show, too, about it. You know, it's like, hey, the similarity between Michael Vick and OJ, that crap. I hate that.
But the way I understand it, it had polarized Atlanta for a long time.
Right.
Because there was that whole underlying. Listen. This is what nobody ever wants to say. Michael Vick kind of looks like a thug.
Right.
Okay. That's what white people say when they look at him.
Mm-hmm.
They would say the same thing if he was a white guy and he had cornrows and bandanas. That's what it's all about.
And the thing is, I think if they could just take the entire racial component out of this and on both sides of the issue, and really in the calls that we get, nothing pisses me off more than when people call about Michael Vick and are trying to immediately make it into lopping him into the whole OJ thing, because that diminishes how bad Michael Vick's crime really was, in my opinion. It really waters it down.
And my answer to whoever I was having this conversation with, I guess after I read it online, I know what it was. I watched Hard Knocks, talking to a buddy of mine about this, and said, but Michael Vick is a thug. And it was like, hold on a second. Look at Hard Knocks. You see that white guy, Kyle Turley?
Mm-hmm.
He's a thug, too.
Right.
You got to look at it from that standpoint.
Are you talking about the guy that has the anger management issues there? Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, right.
Oh, big time. Absolutely.
I mean, could you not, if that guy was walking down the street.
Right.
If you're white, black, whatever, you go,
sure.
Thug.
Right.
Right.
Do you think are we ever going to get to the point, really, in this country where we move past it and bad guys are bad guys and good guys are good guys, no matter what race you are? But no, it never happens that way. It never does.
The news that Vic wouldn't cop to killing or gambling came at the same time that NBA star Stephen Marbury was now distancing himself from Vic. Marbury says his quote earlier this week about dogfighting being a sport was taken out of context. What he says he said was...
Wasn't I saw the clip.
He says he... What he says he said was that he hears that dogfighting is a sport. He says the TV station edited the "he hears" part off of that sentence. Marbury says he disagrees with dogfighting, hates dogfighting. He says Vic is, and I quote, 100% wrong. But Marbury also says he thinks the media has been unfair, and he calls ESPN the Michael Vick torture channel.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, like I was saying, down in Atlanta, the way that it had been covered down there, a lot of it was people waiting for the other shoe to drop, saying, yes, he's guilty, but let's just please wait. I think that's what primarily the black population was saying, wait until it's all final.
And I don't want to be an apologist for Michael Vick. I really don't. I don't want anybody to misinterpret what I'm saying here, but you said you would feel the same way, whether it was you know, Brett Favre or Michael Vick.
You bet.
And I know that's true, but I do agree. I for some reason, I also think that, do you think it would get the media play if it was Brett Favre?
Here's the thing.
Do you think we get the exact same kind of media play? I wonder about that.
We would get it times 1,000
mm-hmm.
because, and I'm strictly from a white perspective, the only perspective I can come from.
Right.
It would be, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, I take that back. You have to take color out of it.
Right.
It really, no, I feel so strongly it would not matter the color of the man.
Right.
Really. Yeah.
You do. You do. I'm asking you about ESPN.
Society. News
do you
media.
Think that the ESPN coverage would be as significant as, you know, using that as the, you know, I don't know whether that's the torture channel for Michael Vick. I don't necessarily think it would.
I think they would only because at this point they can smell the blood in the water.
Right.
And regardless if it's Michael Vick or Brett Favre or Superman, if they know they've got him, they'll jump on him.
Okay. All right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
hard to tell.
In Arizona this afternoon, deputies from Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio raided the home of rapper DMX to remove a dozen distressed pit bulls. They also reportedly found a lot of weapons. DMX, real name Earl Simmons, was not at home at the time.
Hi, this is Robert the Mailman.
Hi, Bob.
Earl the Mailman.
Nicole Richie was in jail yesterday for about the same amount of time it takes to watch The Simpsons movie, 82 minutes. That's how much of her four-day sentence she actually served after driving under the influence of drugs. She got out early because of jail overcrowding. Apparently, the cells were already full of people who aren't celebrities.
It's always going to have a taint to it.
She look like a chihuahua. She really got those dog eyes, doesn't she?
And she's actually looking better than she did about a month ago.
Let this be a lesson to you, kids. Lindsay Lohan, meanwhile, has been sentenced to one day in jail after being found with cocaine while driving under the influence.
Everybody can suck it.
But because we are not soft on celebrities in this country, she'll be on probation for 3 years and spend half that time attending weekly alcohol education meetings. She also has to visit a morgue and chat with some people who have been victimized by drunk drivers.
There is a distinct chance if she's only in jail for a day, she'll still be drunk when she gets out.
She plays it right.
You know, you hear all the reporters, the legal reporters, saying that Lindsay Lohan and Nicole Richie, that they're treated just like these are identical to the way other people would be treated. When I hear things like one day in jail, I'm wondering how many people have, you know, been convicted of crimes like this and served one day in jail. I have no idea whether it's true or not, whether they're actually being treated the way anybody else would be treated. If it was a pregnant person, if they'd be in there for 82 minutes, or whether they do a full 24 hours. I mean, I don't know whether that's true or not. It just seems to me, you know, on the face of it, it looks like, really, I mean, you talk about a slap on the wrist, it's a kiss on the wrist.
On her face.
Yeah, baby.
Her face.
On her face.
And as we go to break, David Hasselhoff has won his libel case against OK Magazine. The magazine says he was drunk and abusive at a nightclub while celebrating winning his custody battle. They said he drank champagne like it was water. The gossip rag will now have to pay him an undisclosed cash settlement and print a retraction. No word on how Hasselhoff will celebrate his latest victory.
Well, we've had a lot of discussion about Michael Vick and the killing of dogs. We got kind of serious there.
More on David Hasselhoff's Jägermeister promotion.
We'll be smelling our own farts after your local weather. Just get the show kind of back on track there.
I like that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.